We are podcasting from inside the archive room. Welcome to the Year 12 English Podcast. In this podcast, we're going to be listening to the audio of a YouTube video by English Lab that looks at the film Rear Window and focuses on an interpretation of the film, looking at symbolism and vocabulary that can be used in a response.
Hi everybody, and welcome to today's English Lab video, where we take an in-depth look at the film Rear Window, one of the Section A texts for the VCE English exam, and something that you'll have to get ready for your reading and creating analytical SAC. My name is Ben Taylor, and today I'm going to share with you a few of my thoughts on the film and a few things that I noticed as I watched it that I think could really help you open up your understanding and allow you to access some really insightful ideas so you can be writing the best possible text response essays when it comes to your SAC or the exam. And so we're going to focus on three things. We're going to be focusing on what Hitchcock is saying through this film. We're going to take a look at how he has said that, and we're also going to take a look at some language that you can start to use in your essay that will allow you to really get to that analysis and make the move from summarizing the plot or talking about what happens in the film to really getting down to what it's about and giving yourself a chance to deeply analyze Hitchcock's intentions with the film Rear Window. And so the first thing that we're going to take a look at is this idea of what and how, what Hitchcock is saying, how he has said it. And so what's really important with this is that we think about what in this idea of not just looking at what happens in the text and the things that happen, but asking ourselves, well, what's it really about? And what's really going on throughout this film? And what are the ideas that Hitchcock is looking to get across to his audience? What is it that we learn by the end of the film? Or what is it that he wanted to get across in terms of a message or a value that he was looking to convey to the audience of the film? And so that's what's going to open up our thinking when it comes to this film and the way that we take a look at it. And so the best way that we can do that is to constantly come back to that question, what is Hitchcock saying? And your ability to show an understanding of this text is going to be measured by your ability to engage with an answer to that question. Your ability to be able to not just show that you understand the events of the film or that you can roll off a few quotes and an understanding of what happens from scene to scene, but rather that you can actually get to the ideas that are being conveyed and show a unique interpretation of how, what you felt the main messages of this text really were. And so one way that we're going to inspire some thought amongst you is that I'm going to show you a bunch of stills from the film. And the reason that I've done that is to really try and get across this idea of the things that Hitchcock has included within the frame and the way in which he has done that and what he might be getting across there. Now, there might be a million different ways to interpret these things, and so I'm not going to give you one concrete interpretation of each of them. Rather, I want you to start to consider how you could be viewing each of these stills and therefore how you could be viewing the entire film in a way that could allow you to really open up your understanding of it. And so we start with something as simple as this, where we have the Thorwalds and them living in their own worlds. They are depicted as being isolated, even though they are within the same apartment. We have these heavy bricks that are there between them, obviously being the material that the apartment is built out of, but it's still nonetheless quite indicative of that constricting and hard nature that exists between the two of them. That drain pipe that runs symmetrically, perfectly right down the middle of them gives across this idea of disconnection or a clear separation between the two of them, that there's something that exists between the two of them that they can't get past, and that they are two individuals within this relationship, and that there is this clear sense of separation that obviously leads to the events that drive the action of the film. Have a look though at the way in which they are depicted as being in their own worlds, and that they are shown as individuals, and that they are shown as being both having their own little worlds that can't coexist in that moment. What do you think is being said here? What do you think Hitchcock is saying about their relationship? Maybe about relationships in general, maybe about the idea of domesticity and living together. Is there something specific that he is criticizing? Is there something that he is pointing out or examining? Or is there more to it than perhaps we can see with just this image? Do we need to throw in some other ideas and things that we've seen in this film in order to support one of those interpretations? This image here brings up this idea of a birdcage being taken in by this neighbour who we never really see again throughout the rest of the film. This happens about 15 minutes in. And it's one of those really telling symbols that, of course, when we view the film and we have that understanding that nothing has been done by accident, if you look into it and you've done a little bit of research online, take a look at how much they spent on building the set, and you'll have this idea that Hitchcock was a perfectionist and that if anything ended up in one of these shots, it was done through tireless work and an understanding of being pedantic about every last little thing. And so the idea that there is a caged bird that is included here is by no means an accident. And it's there for us to be able to think about our interpretation. Not long after that, we have other examples of people being caged. We have this idea of the studio apartment up the top. And so we don't have someone in a relationship here, but later on we have the other married couple from directly across from Jeff's apartment who are also depicted behind bars. And so what's really important with this is that we don't take a look at just two or three of these images and say, right, behind bars, Hitchcock is saying that marriage is a prison, and that's it. Of course, that could be an interpretation of it. He could be talking about the restrictive nature of relationships. But then when we consider the songwriter up in the top corner who isn't in a relationship, who's also shown as being behind bars, what else could Hitchcock be getting to there in terms of people feeling restricted or trapped or imprisoned by certain things? We know that the songwriter isn't the most content and happy man. 10 minutes later, after that still shot is taken, he's shown coming home stumbling drunk and seems very upset and frustrated with certain things in his life. So what is it that Hitchcock could be saying? And what is it that Hitchcock could perhaps be saying people are imprisoned by or that people are trapped by in this society? So when we start to think in this way, it really opens us up to having this deeper understanding of the intentions of Hitchcock and really what the whole film is about. And one way of making sure that we're really not engaging with just purely what the plot is and how it moves from scene to scene is to actually start to consider some of the people that don't have a direct impact on the actual plot and that story arc of did Thorwald kill his wife? And yes, he turned out that he did, and Jeff and Lisa, you know, live happily ever after. Or do they? But more so this sense of the minor characters being, you know, Miss Torso, Miss Lonely Hearts, and Stella, and that these people have all been included for a purpose. And when we start to think about those things, we can start to see them as being embodiments of certain ideas, or perhaps symbols, or perhaps even just characters that allow Hitchcock to add a further dynamic to the main message of what he's saying about relationships and society in the 1950s in America. The idea of Stella perhaps being a voice of reason could be something that could open up your understanding of the film. The idea of Miss Lonely Hearts, who is shown to be so desperate for any sense of affection in her life, who then goes through that terrible ordeal with that man who aggressively, you know, asserts himself upon her, to then finding herself in a relationship later on in the film. All of those little snippets of these things that happen to her are depicting an idea of relationships and how people see themselves and what people want to get out of their lives. How is it that all of those things that happened to Miss Lonely Hearts could allow us to understand the action of this film in a deeper context and have a better idea of exactly what's happening there? Miss Torso and the ability for Lisa Fremont to be able to see herself there and the things that she says about Miss Torso, you know, and Jeff's complete misunderstanding of her being the queen bee with her pick of the drones. There's so many things going on there that we can start to see the inclusion of Miss Torso as actually being quite vital to a deeper interpretation of the plot. Not only do we have this idea of Lisa being able to see herself in what happens in her apartment, but also this idea that Jeff's perceptions, no matter how cocky he may be or how sure he may be of his view of the world, is not always correct, and that his view of the world and his understanding of what is happening in this world outside is actually painted by his own prejudice and how he sees things. Perhaps there's a few points there that Hitchcock's making about perspective, and that when Lisa is able to add her perspective to Jeff's, suddenly things become a bit clearer and he has this deeper understanding of Miss Torso as a human being and not just this object that he views through the window. Finally, if this is an area of study that you've been struggling with a little bit, one way of showing a deeper understanding of text is a really simple technique where we think about the characters at the beginning of the film, and then we think about the characters come the end of the film. And if you take a look at the picture that we have on the screen right now, we have this early depiction of Jeff and the sweat and the stress and that idea of him saying, you know, you've got to get me out of here. And he uses the word cocoon to talk about his life and how he feels and so on. And we can then see that as opposed to him lying in the same wheelchair, but looking so much more relaxed come the end of the film. What is it that has led Jeff to this new plane of understanding? How does he view the world in a way that he didn't used to view it at the start of the film? What has he learned? What is it that he has experienced that has led him to this more contented character? Of course, Lisa Fremont can also be viewed in this way. Not that she becomes more content by the end, but rather that the costuming where she wears these, you know, really elegant dresses and these things where she is seen as this, you know, beautiful, attractive character, but someone who is, you know, really throwing herself at Jeff. But then she is seen differently at the end where, you know, she is seen in this more sort of adaptable sort of clothing and more practical sort of clothing and reading that guide to the Himalayas. Of course, our understanding of how she has changed can lead us to a plenty of more discussion about, does she really change? And there is that moment where she notices that Jeff's sleeping. She drops the book about the Himalayas and starts reading Harper's Bazaar. And so we can start to think, well, has she changed at all? Or is it just Jeff's perception of her that has changed? Another way that we can view that is to think about the idea that we only ever know Lisa Fremont within Jeff's apartment up until near the end of the film. And there is this very telling scene where we start to see her over there in Thorwald's apartment. Of course, this has to happen as part of the action, but when we really break it down, we can start to think about the fact that through these actions, Jeff is starting to see Lisa from a new vantage point, from a new perspective. He can see her in a new light, and he's seeing her out there in this world in which he's made these judgments about these other people. And all of a sudden, she's engaging in these reckless or heroic and bold acts that perhaps Jeff didn't feel she was capable of. So again, there's more fodder there for us to jump in and think about what is Hitchcock saying about perspectives, about our understanding of people, about our ability to understand people, about judgments that we make, and how those two come together in this relationship to understand each other better come the end of the film. So what's he saying then? Well, I wouldn't be doing my job if I was just here to give you a list of all the things that I thought the film was about. Rather, I want you to approach the film now in asking all of these questions and coming to your own conclusions. There is nothing wrong with you seeing the film differently to the person who sits next to you in class, and that person seeing it differently to the person who might sit a few rows back from you. That's perfectly natural. In fact, it's what should be happening if we're going to have this very robust discussion about all the ways that we can see it. There is no golden book that Hitchcock wrote that said this is what Rear Window is about and this is what it isn't and this is what is right and this is what is wrong. It is about your ability to show an interpretation, not your ability to say I get Rear Window in the way that no one else can and I've got the answers to it. So think about it in that way where you are looking to show your interpretation of the film, not looking for, okay, what are the golden rules and these golden answers and these golden ideas that I must get to and that I must say that Rear Window is really all about. If we were to take a look at some of the ideas there, I've included a couple for you on the screen, and it's more so just to give you an idea of some of the language that you could be using to show off these ideas. And so as you can see there, we have this first idea. Hitchcock presents domesticity as a restriction upon a person's freedom. And so domesticity meaning, you know, to be living a domestic life, a life within a household, in a family, cohabiting with other people. And so we can start to think about this idea that perhaps one of his messages of the film is that trying to live such a domesticated life, which was obviously prominent in, you know, post-World War II America in the 1950s, is a restriction upon people's own freedoms and their ability to be an individual. Of course, he may not be critical of this. You know, we're not here to talk about all of the things that could lead to in terms of, you know, where an individual should be or how they should live their lives. But rather, he could just be examining the idea that being a part of a society can be restricting, and it can take part of an individual from them in the way that they see themselves and the way that they have to give up some of their own freedoms in order to live amongst others, be that within their own house or within society in general. However, Hitchcock also illustrates the need for love and connection. And so if we were to think about this in a really blunt way, we could just say something simple like, well, the film is about a murderer taking the life of his wife. And so therefore, there is this very cynical view of relationships, and that we see the fighting and the, you know, the back and forth when it comes to a relationship, and Jeff's cynicism and talking about how women nag and all these things. And you could say, okay, that it is about a restriction and that relationships are restrictive, and that, you know, Hitchcock has this very negative view of relationships. However, we also have evidence that would refute that. And the ultimate story of Lisa and Jeff understanding each other better and seeming much more content come the film's end. Also, the meeting of Miss Lonely Hearts and the songwriter. There is all this evidence that would go against that, and that we could also be saying that there is an interpretation of this film that could lead us to say that Hitchcock points out that there is a need for love and connection amongst people. Perhaps Hitchcock is even portraying relationships as only being successful when one can compromise. And so what we're seeing there is that we don't always have to be black and white in our thinking, that rather we can look at what exists in between and say that successful relationships happen when compromise exists between two people. And so it's up to you with how you see the film. There may be things that you've heard me say in today's video that you think, I don't agree with that whatsoever, and that's completely fine. I'd love to hear your thoughts in the comments, or if you've got any questions, please put them below and we'll get to them. I'd also love to hear any interpretation that you have, or anything where you'd like to perhaps support what I've said, or even challenge it with some contrary evidence that you feel really undermines one of the points that I've made. That's going to open up some really good thought and discussion. What else does Hitchcock comment on, though? I've included on the screen now a couple of other things that could help lead you towards some more specific ideas. I want you to think about what Hitchcock might be saying about post-war America, what he's saying about American society, what he's saying about the idea of neighborhood and community, what he says about perspective and introspection. And so I mentioned that earlier when I talked about Jeff seeing Lisa in this new light, but also the idea of introspection, looking in and actually understanding ourselves. That quote from Stella, you know, people ought to look in on themselves from time to time, or something like that. That idea of people having to understand themselves before they can make judgments of others as well. The idea of public and private worlds, or the ideas of the pressure of living in a society. And so, as we've talked about, you know, we have this idea of imprisonment and all those things that we've talked about earlier when it came to relationships and so on. It also happens to characters who are not in relationships. And so what does that say then about society in general and the way in which people exist within it? And so we could talk about these ideas forever and ever, and we could think about all of these different interpretations, but there comes a time where we need to put them down on paper. And so I'm going to give you some sentence starters and some vocabulary that will allow you to get to this sort of analysis. And as you can see there now on your screen, we have words such as examines, is critical of, criticizes, laments, presents a cynical view of, celebrates. Again, just like with the interpretations themselves, there is not a golden list of words that you are or are not allowed to use. The six or seven phrases that I've used there are an example of ways that you can go about it. They are not the only way that you should go about it. You might have language that you're more comfortable with, but if this is something that you have been finding difficult, getting to this deeper interpretation, this deeper insight, this deeper understanding of the text's true meaning, these are some of the words that will allow you to get to what Hitchcock is really saying. And if you have sentences of this nature in your essay and they are part of a cohesive interpretation and they're helping you respond to the question at hand, then you're going to be on the right track in terms of making sure that you're presenting a view of the film in response to the question that's being asked of you. Further to those sentence starters and vocabulary that we've just provided there, there's also a magical world called Through that will allow you to analyze the film in a really direct way. And so we might have sentences like, through Miss Lovely Hearts, Hitchcock is able to. Through Jeff's new understanding of Lisa, Hitchcock illustrates. If we're using the word through, what we're doing is directly taking evidence from the film, be it a character, be it a quote, be it a reference to an event in the film, or a symbol, or a close-up shot, or a camera angle, or any film technique that Hitchcock has used, and then we're getting to what he was doing through it. And so that's why the word through can be such a great term for you to be using when you're writing your first practice essays, because it is that link between what is Hitchcock saying and how is he saying it? Because you're already automatically referring to how he said it by bringing up the evidence, and then you're getting to the point of what he's trying to do. Through Miss Lonely Heart's experience, so that's how Hitchcock has got the idea across, Hitchcock is able to show the need for love and affection within a society, or whatever it might be, and then it gets to the idea and the interpretation. It's that punchy, direct way of making sure that we're engaging with the what and the how. What Hitchcock is saying, how he has said it. And so we need to take a further look at how Hitchcock has constructed this film and how he's put it together, because that can be that extra level that we can add to our analysis that goes beyond simple quoting or referring to events. And so you will probably be aware of all of the different camera angles and different film techniques that Hitchcock has used. There are literally hundreds of them throughout Rear Window. But what's really, really important for you is to make sure that you are not just identifying those film techniques, but rather making sure that once you've identified them, that you're analyzing why Hitchcock would do that. And so when we're discussing these film techniques, it's important that we make sure that we go further to point out why that certain technique would be used and what is achieved through the use of that technique. And so there is some language there that we can use to ensure that we're getting to that type of analysis. Again, we can use the word through his use of this shot, Hitchcock, and it might be whatever, by, and then referring to a certain type of shot or a way that he's framed a certain scene, Hitchcock examines. Hitchcock's use of a certain shot or a camera angle or a certain perspective or a film technique allows him to. So take a look at all of the different things when you're re-watching this film and try to consider everything that went into that shot being done the way that it was. Think about costume, think about the sound. Obviously more than just the soundtrack, you know, the sounds coming in off the street and what that suggests about the society and the neighborhood around them and the silence being broken and what that allows people to feel when they're watching this film. And finally, of course, there are also symbols other than just film techniques that Hitchcock uses. Things such as the blinds and the idea of when a blind is pulled down, obviously meaning that there's privacy within the apartment, but the deeper meaning behind that about what we show to the world and what we like to keep private, that understanding of how those two things can exist together. The idea of the camera and the lens. When you're watching it again, have a think about the way in which Jeff is sometimes viewing things through his own camera lens or viewing things with his own eyes. What is it that he is able to do when viewing things through the camera lens that perhaps he doesn't see otherwise? And what does that say about the nature of perspective and the idea of how people see the same situation and interpret it differently? Costume, sound, all of those things. We need to be thinking about what is achieved through the use of them. And of course, what is then being said and what Hitchcock is trying to say to us through his film. And so that wraps up our video. And what we're aiming to do is to open up our understanding of this film to really get to the ideas of what Hitchcock is saying and being able to support that with our understanding of how he has said it in the way that he's put it across. Please make sure that you like the video if you've got something out of it. Subscribe to our channel and check out all of our other videos that are here to help you with your VCE journey. And make sure you ask a question down there in the comments. We'd love to help you out. All the best for your studying, for your SAC and for your exams. And until we see you next time, best of luck.